grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
I can satisfy your woman. You're driving me wild. Break up to make up. That's all we do. First you love me, then you hate me. That's a game for food.
7 minutes after the hour of 5. On this, your drive home at 5, and one of my all-time favorite R&B classic songs by The Stylistics. Oh, this is great. Make up to break up. And as I sort of retool myself after having the 100 stitches and staples out of my stomach, that occurred last week and permitted me a full return here to WABC, both 12 to 3 earlier in the day with Rita Cosby. And right here on the drive home at 5, I say, as miserable as I was after that 8-hour operation on December 13th to remove my chronic Crohn's disease, I'm not a masochist, right? If you notice, I held off for like 2.5 years having that operation that I realized at the end of the marathon I might eventually have to succumb to after trying all other kind of remedies. But I'm not a masochist. In the case of Huma Abedin and Anthony the Perv Wiener, I'm beginning to believe that Huma, the clone of Hillary Rodham Clinton, is a masochist. Today, she has announced that she will not be divorcing the perv, who is in a camp fed outside of Boston up in Massachusetts, probably cheering on Tom Brady, the Brady Bunch, and Coach Belichick towards the Super Bowl. You know how the Anthony the Weiner Wiener is. He can easily flip the script. She has announced that they are getting back together. She is not pursuing a divorce. She wants to remain married to this perv. And I'm saying to myself, how can this be? The last picture we saw was of Anthony the Weiner Wiener with his young son at his side in bed as he was sexting an underaged woman in Pennsylvania and then FaceTiming her. What a total sicola. On the line to discuss this, though, is Gersh Kuntzman. In fact, he is the breaking news editor of Newsweek magazine. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Gersh.
Well, and you should also thank me for filling in for you on WABC while you were recovering from your illness.
I have some breaking news for you, though, before we talk about Anthony the Weiner Wiener and Huma Abedin. You know that favorite 7-Eleven joint that you go to in the Slope, Park Slope? In which,
I know where this is going, and I do not support what the Trump administration did today.
Yeah, but your favorite guy behind the counter, Habib, has been taken out in chains and shackles. How are you going to get your nachos and your Slurpees anymore? ICE is raiding 7-Elevens around the nation and pulling them out in chains and shackles.
Why are you gleefully celebrating the arrest of people who are just hardworking guys trying to help me get a Slurpee?
Oh, no, I'm not. You know, I don't understand this. They're not MS-13. They're not bad hombres, but we'll discuss it more tomorrow. I just wanted to alert you that when you go to your 7-Eleven there off 7th Avenue, yeah, you won't be seeing Habib any longer.
Look, I'm the breaking news editor of Newsweek. I'm well aware of that.
All right, meantime, were you aware that Huma Abedin, for like what, the sixth time, has decided, no, we're going to go through reconciliation. I'm not going to file for a divorce decree against my perverted husband, who is now in a diagnostic federal jail, a camp fed outside of Boston, Massachusetts, dealing with his demons.
Well, you are, of course, disseminating fake news a little bit, Curtis. All we know is that Huma and Anthony will settle their divorce out of court, they say, to protect their son. So all we know is that they've stopped the court proceedings on their divorce. And as you well know from personal experience, divorces can be settled in many different ways.
You really believe that nonsense? Come on, Kirsch. Kirsch.
I do. I actually do. I have no reason to think that they are reconciling.
Are you so freaking naive not to understand that with the Department of Justice now investigating Hillary Rodham Clinton, her involvement with the Clinton Foundation, pay for play, you scratch my belly, I scratch yours, that people who know what she was doing as Secretary of State, obviously, as her aide-de-camp, Huma, and more importantly, her water boy, Anthony Nowina-Wiener, who was receiving many of her emails when she was Secretary of State, you realize that as a husband and wife, they wouldn't have to be forced to testify against one another's interests.
Well, you have got an extremely black heart, Curtis. I had no idea. Look, the relationship between them as lovers and as marital partners is over. Everybody knows that. They obviously have to co-parent that kid, so she has an interest in having some sort of reconciliation, at least in the court papers. But do not think they're getting back together just because Anthony Weiner is somehow going to bail her out of the federal investigation. That's absurd.
Give us an idea of what you think is going through the mind of Anthony Nowina-Wiener now in that federal camp fed in outside of Boston. You basically grew up as a Cub reporter covering him as he was busting his shoes through parts of Brooklyn.
I will, of course, be the only journalist left in New York City who will defend Anthony Weiner, also, first of all, as a talented legislator, but also as a man who's got a health problem and has hurt a lot of people in his life. And is now paying the price for that. And I respect that he's serving his time, and I totally understand that. I think what's going through his head is simply he's ruined his life, he's ruined his son's life, he's ruined his wife's life, and he's now paying for that.
Now, you say a health problem. Is that similar to what Harvey Weinstein has or Bill O'Reilly has, a health issue?
No, in no way. And I am sad that you would conflate those things. Harvey Weinstein is an alleged rapist. Nobody ever has alleged that Anthony Weiner, who is at best a masturbator and at worst an online troll, is a rapist.
So he's more like a Louis C.K. He likes to prove to the world that he is not suffering from erectile dysfunction.
No, he is not like a Louis C.K. who is accused of allegedly sexually assaulting a woman by masturbating in front of her. All we know that Anthony Weiner has done is have online sexting with people, which is gross and which is not necessarily normal, but is in no way as objectionable as anything you've talked about before.
So you've ruled out the fact that Huma Abedin may just be a sucker, I mean a masochist herself, and has found something enticing about this character, Anthony Weiner.
I'm not ruling that out. She married him once. Doesn't mean that she's not in love with him. It doesn't mean that she's completely lost feeling for him. He has hurt her really badly. We all know that. And they want to settle it a different way.
All right, and how do you see these proceedings going forward now that the Justice Department is plunging in whole hog to vet out what was going on in the Clinton Foundation between Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea?
I don't see that affecting the marital dispute. I do see Huma involved in all of the things you just mentioned. I don't think she's going to be held nearly as culpable as Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea.
Now, were you thrilled yesterday when you saw your president announced that it'll be DACA first, and then we can talk about immigration prevention next and building the wall?
Well, that's not exactly what he said. What he said was DACA and the wall are tied together, and immigration reform can come later, which is fine. I do think he's holding the DACA recipients, who, again, like you said at the top of the show, are hardworking people, very few criminals among that group. He's holding them hostage to his wall. The wall that he says Mexico will pay for, and yet to this day has never explained how that's going to happen.
All right, but let's assume that they compromise and the 800,000 who are here who have not committed crimes are allowed to stay here and eventually naturalize themselves and not be sent back to the country of origin or their parents who brought them here when they were little ones. Do you think at the age of 21, though, they should be allowed to have extended family members back in those countries join them here as are the rules and regulations as they exist now?
Well, you're talking about chain, what they call chain migration. I do not believe that current DACA recipients can bring over other family members. You're saying if they were to become citizens, yes, indeed, they probably would be able to do exactly what you're saying. And I do not have a problem with what the GOP calls chain migration. Family migration is the way this country was built, and it actually provides stable communities for immigrants.
Would you limit it maybe to a mother or a father, to sisters or brothers, to cousins, third cousins, fourth uncles, fifth aunts? You know, it's like, where does it end here, Gersh Kuntzman?
As long as we get that 13th nephew twice removed in, I think I'm okay with it. No, of course there has to be limitations. One person can't bring over 100 people, but that's the nature of building stable communities. You want to bring over people who have places to live and work and grow.
And please, ladies and gentlemen out there, feel for Gersh Kuntzman, breaking news editor for Newsweek, who has a regimen each and every day. He schleps in the Slope, that's right, Park Slope, the same neighborhood that has produced our part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, Bill de Blasio. He schleps down to his local 7-Eleven, and every day he has his nachos and his Slurpee served by Habib, who I think is from Egypt, across the counter. Habib was taken out in chains and shackles along with his extended family members, because, you know, that's the way it is in a 7-Eleven. ICE has raided 7-Elevens all across the country. So the next time you stop for nachos and a Slurpee, there may be nobody behind the counter to serve you.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And the Drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
Five 25 here as we continue on the drive home at 5. Ever since that bomb cyclone hit last week, temperatures plummeted this weekend, and there was all kinds of mishigosh, not only in private dwellings where Dracula landlords had sucked the life out of the boiler system and were denying heat and hot water to their residents. And the mayor just said, call 311, we'll get on their case. But also within NYCHA, that thousands of units, federally subsidized, 90% of which are paid with federal tax dollars, the other 10% by city money. And these residents were without heat and hot water for days. And then I learned from Camilla Price, who recently ran for Bronx Borough President against Ruben Diaz Jr. as the New York State Reform Party candidate, that in fact, outside of the Patterson Housing Projects, now why do we know the Patterson Housing Projects in the South Bronx? Because Dominic Carter, who oftentimes is my co-host in the afternoons from 12 to 3, grew up there and has described what life was like there in the Patterson Housing Projects. But that in fact, for residents who had no heat or hot water, they were being herded out into a yellow school bus to stay nice and warm and toasty. Camilla Price, thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5.
Thank you for having me, Curtis.
Now, Camilla, when you first sent me the flyer that had been posted all throughout the Patterson Public Housing Projects in the South Bronx, I thought it was like The Onion. I thought it was a joke. This is for real? The city's answer was to take the people out of their apartments and put them in a school bus?
Yes, because that was supposed to keep the people warm. How do you take people, residents, out of a NYCHA and put them in a bus and say, this is the warming bus? That's what it was for, the warming bus. And tell them to go to the warming bus at 300 East 143rd Street. So they had to come out of a cold home to walk in the cold air to get to a warming bus. So after you warm up, you got to go back out into the cold air to go back in a cold home. So you're never going to be warm.
This sounds nuts. I mean, if we were to tell people in other locations that this was the mayor, de Blasio's remedy for people without heat or hot water, they would laugh us out. They would say, you got to be kidding. That's your only remedy?
Nope. They actually posted the buildings in Patterson Project and told the people to go to the warming bus if they wanted to be warm.
Now, Camilla Price, you've been dealing with NYCHA public housing issues for years as a resident, organizing other residents. Why does it seem that things now are just totally falling apart?
Well, when I was working in the Borough President's office, I was also the chair of the NYCHA Task Force. And I always listened to all the presidents of all the developments in the Bronx. And, I mean, we have heard of lack of hot water and other issues, elevators not working, but to the extreme that no heat, no hot water for days, and nobody helping, the problem is getting worse. And the problem has to do with funding. And they want to cut funding from the NYCHAs, but they're hurting the people that live there. And you have people that live in NYCHA that is paying a decent amount of money for rent. Where is all that money going? Because now they make sure that they pay 30% of their salary. And you have people who live in NYCHA that works for transit, as a corrections officer, and they're paying over $1,000. Where is that money going? Yes, I agreed with the audit that you have posted from Scott Stringer's office, but somebody has to answer where is the money and try to work on getting more funding for those residents.
Okay,
really, so uncalled.
This is where the problem takes place, Camilla Price. The president, whether we like it or not, is Donald Trump. He controls HUD, which is run now by Dr. Carson, and they pay for 90% of everything that goes into NYCHA public housing here and in public housing developments all across the country. If we have no relationship with them, because the mayor has said, no, we don't talk with Trump, we're not talking with Dr. Carson, we're part of the resistance, how can we possibly get any more money from the feds if we've turned our backs on them?
And we're not. We're not. That means we are being led by someone who cannot lead. Because regardless if you like a person or not, Curtis, when we have the largest public housing in the United States, we have to work with them on that level. Otherwise, we're not only turning our backs by not talking to the president, we're turning our backs on thousands of residents. And that is not fair.
Why do you think this mayor who claims that he's a friend of people who are poor, impoverished, and lower middle class and wants to go out on a national campaign and represent them in the upcoming presidential election, why do you think he acts like he couldn't care jackedly squat about NYCHA residents?
Because he don't really need the residents to vote him to the next position. Because he don't feel that we are voters. We're active voters. They come to the NYCHAs when it's time for them to run for election. But they really don't care. After the election is over, they don't care about the residents. They don't care about if I have been in so many developments over this summer, and I've seen people with no sinks, people that have no ceilings. They sit on the toilet. They have umbrellas over their head when they got to use the toilet. There is so much going on. And what happened to our local elected officials? Not just our mayor. It should be boroughs. Each borough, they should have a task force that they could work on to help remedy the problems of the people in NYCHA. But no, they don't care about them. The only time they want to care about them when they want to have photo op at election time. After that, it's over for them.
You appreciate that. That's Camilla Price. Recently ran against Ruben Diaz Jr. for the Bronx Borough Presidency on the New York State Reform Party line, of which I am chairman. Unlike other political parties, we're not just going to talk about the needs of NYCHA residents. We're actually going to organize them because there needs to be dialogue with Dr. Ben Carson. Whether you like the Trump administration or not, they control the purse strings. And Dr. Ben Carson, who grew up in Detroit, he's well aware of the poor and impoverished conditions that many people were forced to grow up under. To have no dialogue with him whatsoever is a double shanda, it's a double disgrazia, and obviously it's going to make the residents of NYCHA suffer even more.
The Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa.
On the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live.
My boy Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5, Supertramp singing about, not the Dreamers, not the DACA folks who were in limbo here based on a federal judge's decision of the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco after yesterday's spectacle at the White House in which the President of the United States called together the bipartisan group of elected officials to try to hammer out a situation of what to do with the folks who came across the border as DACA children. and have been told that their stay may end as of March. First, here was the president initially welcoming everyone into this confab.
I think what we're all saying is we'll do DACA, and we can certainly start comprehensive immigration reform the following afternoon, okay? We'll take an hour off, and then we'll start. But I do believe that.
Now, that rocked conservatives' worlds because they said, what? DACA separate and succinct from your whole campaign pledge to build that wall from Tijuana on the California coast to Corpus Christi on the Gulf of Mexico coast? Well, a few hours later, the president amended that.
You need the wall. I mean, it's wonderful. I'd love not to build the wall, but you need the wall. And I will tell you this, the ICE officers and the Border Patrol agents, I had them just recently up. They say if you don't have the wall, you know, in certain areas, obviously, that aren't protected by nature, if you don't have the wall, you cannot have security. You just can't have it. It doesn't work.
Madonna Mai, I'm suffering again from political vertigo as we've gone from one extreme to another extreme. We welcome back once again Christopher Hahn, the heartthrob of all liberals out there, but the human pinata for the many Fox News Channel hosts and hostesses who want to take aim at you. Thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Curtis. How you doing? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling a lot better having had the 100 stitches and staples taken out from the operation. I had 8 hours to get rid of that chronic Crohn's disease back on December 13th. But I'm suffering from political vertigo based on what our president said yesterday. Which president are you listening to? The initial Trump's presentation to say DACA first, then we'll worry about a wall, or the amended version that came back hours later that said, oh, wait a second, without a wall, there is no DACA?
Yeah, look, this guy can't be trusted on anything. He's winging it. So my feeling is he's going to sign whatever they put on his desk, Curtis. We don't have to worry about what he thinks, what he says. It's whatever Congress does to him, he will sign, because all he really wants to do is win. He doesn't care what the win is, and whatever he signs, he'll say it was the best thing ever, and he was so glad he pushed for it. So the president is really irrelevant to the conversation when you think about it. All he wants to do is sign the bill. He thinks that's his job. He's the auto pen for the United States of America.
Yeah, but do you believe, as he said, that this will be a bill about love, a love bill for the children, for the children?
Yeah, he was very low energy when he said that, don't you think?
At times, I support the president. At other times, I'm his biggest detractor. But I've never associated him with the word love.
Right. Well, he's using Jeb Bush's line. It's Jeb Bush's line. He's like, I guess it was okay. Because I remember him really destroying Jeb Bush when he used that line when he was running for president back in 2016.
Now, you know, there are a lot of Trump supporters who are saying, okay, I understand. We're not going to deport 800,000 people who came here, not because they had any choice in the matter, but they were in the company of relatives or their parents. They've grown up here. They only know life here in the United States.
Right.
But what troubles a lot of the Trump supporters is, okay, if we let them stay, why are we then, at the age of 21, going to allow them to petition the government to bring in their extended family from back in the country of origin that their parents came from? Isn't it enough to say you can stay, Chris, but you can't bring other family members in?
Well, I think we got to find out. We have to come to a compromise as to what these people are and give them a status. Are they Americans or are they not? I tend to think they're Americans because that's how they believe. They feel that they're Americans. It's the only country they ever knew. And this is what they are. This is who they are. And I think that we should be accepting of them, and we should treat them like Americans, and we should put them on a path to citizenship. And if they get that citizenship, then they should be entitled to all the rights that we're entitled to.
How about if some are sent back to the countries where their parents first brought them from, and they're put at the head of the line in order to gain re-entry into the country?
Well, where are they going to go? They don't know those countries. You know, these are guys who grew up in Scarsdale. We're going to send them to Guatemala?
But wait a second. You're telling me they're like Buka boys and Buka girls who grew up in Scarsdale? Or are they the guys and gals who were doing lawn maintenance in Scarsdale?
You know what? Their parents might have been doing lawn maintenance in Scarsdale, but the kids were going to school in Scarsdale. And those kids are as American as you and I are. Yeah, we need to start thinking of it that way.
Right, but their kids are getting the same benefits that a lot of middle-class American kids who were born and raised here are not getting. That strikes me as being unfair.
I say God bless America. I say we're a country that takes care of people. I say that we're a country that loves people, like the president said.
Well, how about taking care of our middle-class and lower-middle-class kids?
I agree. We should be taking care of everybody because we've got enough to take care of everybody, Curtis.
Wait a second. Enough to take care of everybody? Does that include people from all over the world?
No, but I think people who are here, who have been Americans their entire life, should be treated as Americans, and they should be given the same rights and responsibilities as Americans. And let's be clear, most people who immigrate here, they come here looking for a better life. They don't come here to leech off the system. That is a right-wing lie that I think that the Democratic Party needs to do a better job addressing. Because, quite frankly, we let them say it time and time again, and too many Americans believe it. Yet you and I, who live in New York City, we understand that the immigrants here are the backbone of this city, and they're working their butts off for a better life for their kids.
Question, since you've worked for years with Chuck Schumer, will he, along with Nancy Pelosi, say, it's either DACA or we close the government down this time?
I don't know that anybody wants to see a government shut down. And I don't think that that's where it's going to go.
Yeah, very succinct. That's Chris Hahn. Again, the liberal heartthrob of so many out there, and regularly as a masochist subjects himself to be cross-examined by the hosts and hostesses of the Fox News Channel who turn him into a human pinata. As we continue here on the drive home at 5, and these are one of the most preferred portions of the show that I love to do, it's Mob Talk, in which we talk about the mobsters choking on their lobsters, the geriatric espresso-sipping psychotic killers of organized crime. I know for many of you, you say, hey, that's old school. That obviously was a major problem years ago. But no, they still linger. They still hang around. They still have become impediments to unions, especially in the way they conduct their business. Perfect example today. The alumni, the graduates of the school of Vinny the Chin Gigante, former head of the Genovese crime family before he became room temperature, acting with Suge, Ubats, walking around, talking to the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees down near Washington Square Park for years, hanging out at the Triangle Social Club, right there on Sullivan Street, conducting business through his henchman, his wartime and peacetime consigliere, Benny Eggs Mangano. Now, you would say, wait a second, they're gone. You know, that was the history of the Genovese crime family, the most powerful of all the organized crime families, more powerful than the Gambinos, the Lucchesis, the Colombos, more powerful than the Di Cavalcantes across the Hudson in New Jersey and the Colombos. There's no doubt. But in this case, we see a series of arrests that were made earlier today of the alumni graduates of the school of Vinny the Chin Gigante. And they were busted on racketeering charges for a long-running shakedown of local unions that occurred when Vinny the Chin Gigante and Benny H. Mangano were running the show. Court papers accused these Genovese wise guys of not only extorting money from union leadership and accepting illegal kickbacks, but constantly threatening economic harm and physical violence to those members of the unions that would stand up to them or diss them and dismiss them. And they would enforce it with brutal force, bending legs and stuffing it into people's pockets. Now, who were this quinella, this quintet? They were identified as Genovese crime family members Vincent Vincenz Esposito, Stephen Arena. Hey, you've heard that name before. Frank Givioncani, Frank Cognetta, and Vincent DeCanto Jr. That's right, that's his name. And all of them were involved in this cabal from 2001 right through October of 2017. Where Esposito and Arena especially would squeeze labor union officials for annual cash payments to keep their jobs. That's right, they had to give their envelopes over with their scat-o. And if they didn't up the scat-o, they immediately would be preyed upon by the goons, those jadrules, those knuckle draggers, who would actually beat the living daylights out of them. In fact, the charges against Cognetta involve Local 1D of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. The defendant received kickbacks in return for steering employee benefits plan funds into specific annuity contract investments. The only thing they weren't charged with is raiding the pension funds. Now, Cognetta was also accused of appointing a specific financial advisor as an insurance broker for a union medical plan in return for illegal payoffs. Now, look, the power of the unions is diminishing. There's no doubt about that. But in our tri-state area, the unions are still strong. The influence of the Genovese crime family is still there, as is the Gambinos, the Lucchese's, the Colombos, the Bananos, and yes, in New Jersey, the DeCavalcantes. That's why we need federal law enforcement, the FBI, to forever be busting these Italian wise guys. This has to be one of the focus issues.
Did you know that studies have...